Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala sayyidina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa auladihi wa ahli baytihi wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin amma ba'd فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله اصطفى كنانة من ولد إسماعيل واصطفى قريشا من كنانة واصطفى من قريش بني هاشم واصطفاني من بني هاشم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. In the sixth year after Hijrah, the famous Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed between Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Quraysh of Makkah, which meant that now Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was at ease with regards to any attacks from the Quraysh of Makkah. And this gave an opportunity for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to now invite the other nations, other kings, other empires to Islam. So in this year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote various letters to different kings. And one of the kings to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote a letter was one of the superpowers of the time, the Roman Emperor Hiraqal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a sahabi by the name of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu an with this letter. And the letter was a very simple letter. It was a very straightforward letter. But obviously at the same time, it was an encouraging letter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him in that letter, من محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من محمد عبد الله ورسوله. This letter is from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah, إلى هرقل عظيم الروم, and it is addressed to Hiraqal, the emperor of Rome. This was the superpower of the time. There were two superpowers at that time: the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. And the Romans had defeated the Persians. And out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was a Christian, following whatever remnants there were of Christianity. So out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hiraqal walked. He walked from Constantinople, which was his capital, right to Jerusalem, right till Baytul Muqaddas, which was known at that time as Ilya. So he walked out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was the superpower of the time. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is writing this letter to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda. Because he is a kafir, he could not make salam to the kafir. So he wrote, Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda. Peace be upon that person who follows the guidance. If you come on guidance, there will be peace for you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Amma ba'd, fa'inni ad'uka bidi'ayatil Islam. I invite you with the invitation of Islam. Aslim taslam. Bring iman and you will be safe. No one will interfere with you. Your property will be safe. Your life will be safe. Aslim taslam. Yu'tikallahu ajraka marratain. Because you were previously following one of the divine religions, Christianity. Now when you accept Islam, you believed in Isa alayhi salam, and now you believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will give you double reward. reward of believing in Isa alayhi salam at that time before Islam, and now believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Islam is the true religion. And then he goes on to say, فَإِنْ So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa encouraged him. He gave him the thawab, the virtue of bringing iman. But at the same time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sounded a warning as well. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمَ الْأَرِيسِيِّينَ If you turn away, and if you do not accept this message, then you will get the sin of all your subjects. Because if you have to accept Islam, your subjects will accept Islam. You will become a means of your subjects accepting Islam. But if you reject Islam, they also will not accept Islam. You will receive the sin of all your subjects not accepting Islam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote that ayat of Quran, Ya ahlal kitabi ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the ahli kitab, addresses the people of the book, that let's come to a common platform. And the common platform is that we will not ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something which was common in all the religions of the past, that never ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was something that they were not prepared to accept. We don't have the time to go into the details of the ayat. But nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote this. And this was the end of that letter. Such a short letter. But it was a clear letter. It encouraged him. And at the same time, it issued a warning. And this was the letter that was sent to him. The superpower of the time is receiving this letter from someone in Arabia. At that time when he received the letter, as we explained, he was in Ilya, he was in Jerusalem at that time. So he wanted to inquire, he wanted to find out about this person who has sent the letter to him. So he gives a command, and he says that search this entire empire of mine, and look for someone who comes from the same place as this person. Someone who comes from his city, from his town, so that I can find out more about him. Now, he was a person who had some type of justice in him. So he didn't just reject it. He wanted to find out more. So the search parties go out and they find Abu Sufyan, who was still not a Muslim at that time. Later on he became a Sahabi radiallahu anhu. They find him at that time. He was with a caravan of traders. They were in Gaza. In Gaza, current day Gaza, they were there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters and grant them victory and liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa as well. So he was in Gaza at that time. So he was summoned to the Roman Emperor in Jerusalem. When he comes in, all the seniors of the kingdom, all the influential people, the priests and his various ministers were all sitting there in the court. There was a translator that was appointed, and now he asks and he says that which person from among you is the closest in lineage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to this person that has claimed to be a Nabi? Who is closest in lineage? So Abu Sufyan says, I am closest in lineage. Now, the closeness, he's saying, I am closest in lineage. The closeness was, they both met at the fourth grandfather. They met at the fourth grandfather. Today we won't even know that family, those family members of ours. So Abdul Manaf was the common point where they both met. So he says, I'm the closest in lineage. The reason why he asked for the one who was closest was because he will know him the best. So Abu Sufyan was brought to the front, not yet a Sahabi, an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was brought to the front and he says, everyone else stand behind him. He must not be able to see you. But if he says anything wrong, if he speaks a word of lie, then you must immediately say he's speaking lies. So he was so careful. He wanted the exact picture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really is. Abu Sufyan says that if it wasn't for the fear that people will later on say that I spoke lies, if it wasn't for the stigma of lies that will be attached to me, I would have spoken lies on that occasion. Because this was the ideal time. Imagine if I'm going to say the true story and the true picture. It's highly possible the Roman emperor will accept the message of my enemy. We battling with him there in Arabia. Here the whole Roman emperor, the whole Roman empire will come under him. So this was the ideal time for me to speak a lie. But he says, my fear was that these people that were with me, they will go back home and say, this man spoke a lie. Maybe I will convince him, but for the rest of my life, I would have this blemish of being a liar attached to my name. Despite them being on kufr, they understood the importance of speaking the truth. And Allah forbid, today we can be first off in the masjid as well. We can be performing tahajjud salah also. But then the lies goes on just to sell some commodity. And how much of lies we'll speak. I'm not saying we mustn't be in the first off. I'm not saying we mustn't read tahajjud. But together with that, this also has to be in order. Our dealings have to be in order. Our tongue has to be under control. Here, despite kufr, he says, I did not want to be regarded as a liar. Therefore, I couldn't speak a lie. Although this was the opportune time for me to speak a lie. So now, Hiraqal posed 10 questions. He's the Roman emperor. He posed 10 questions to Abu Sufyan regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason I am discussing it, because many of the great qualities and perfections of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are understood from these answers that were given. And thereafter, the comment that Hiraqal made on these answers that were given. So the first question he asked him, that how is his lineage? What kind of lineage that does he have? He says, "Huwa fina dhu nasabin." He comes from the best of lineages. And obviously, Allah handpicked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narration of Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah astafa kinanata min wuldi Ismail." From the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah chose one person, and that was Kinana. And then from his progeny, wastafa Quraishan min Kinana. From his progeny, Allah chose the Quraysh. A person by the name of Fihr bin Malik. He comes in the ancestors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah chose him. Wastafa min Quraishin bani Hashim. Then from the broader family of the Quraysh, Allah handpicked one person. And Allah handpicked Hashim and the progeny of Hashim, the family of Hashim. The Banu Hashim was the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from this entire family and clan of the Banu Hashim, wastafani min bani Hashim. Allah chose me specifically, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from the best of lineages. When Abu Sufyan gave this answer, Hiraqal later on, the comments were all later on, but I will link it with the answer to make it easy. At the end, he commented on all of the answers. So the comment that he made on this answer was, he says, فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلْ تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَبِ قَوْمِهَا. This is the exact case with regards to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to the messengers. They come from very high lineages, from good family backgrounds they come. So he was a person who was acquainted with the scriptures because he was a Christian. So he studied the divine scriptures. He had knowledge of the scriptures. Then he says, that has anyone in your city, in your town, in your area, anyone before him has made this claim of being a Nabi, of being a Rasul? He says, no one has made this claim. He says, all right, if you told me that someone made the claim, then perhaps he is following someone else. But if no one claimed to be a prophet before him, then he is not following anyone. Then the third question, from his forefathers, was anyone a king? He says, no one was a king. He says, if you told me that someone was a king, then I would have said that he's trying to reclaim the kingdom of his ancestors. But no one was a king. He was trying to work out the background of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the credentials of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he asked the fourth question, فَأَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُمْ. Do the notable, prominent people follow him by and large, or more the downtrodden, the weak people are following him? Now what happens with us? We see where the influential people are going. The influential people, they will make the trends. What they do becomes the precedent. But look at this. He asks, are the prominent influential people following him, wealthy people following him, or are the poor, downtrodden people, the weak people following him? By and large, largely. Obviously, there will be certain exceptions. So, Abu Sufyan says, it is the weak people that are following him. So, most of the leaders of Makkah didn't bring iman in the beginning. Later on, they brought iman. So, Hiraqal comments on this, and he says that hum atba'u rusul, generally these are the people who follow the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. It is the weak people, the downtrodden people. They are the ones who follow the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam in the beginning. Thereafter others come on. Then the fifth question he poses, ayazidun am yanqusun? Are they increasing in number, their numbers are growing, or their numbers are dwindling, getting less? He says, no, they are increasing in number. So Hiraqal comments and he says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَمْرُ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَتِمْ. This is the situation with regards to Iman. In the beginning it will be weak, and then it grows and grows and grows, until finally Iman will reach its perfection, and the message of Iman will go all over. The sixth question was, that anyone who enters into his deen, do they leave his deen? Do they become murtad? سُخْتَةً لِدِينِهِ, because they dislike the deen. Sometimes they may be leaving because of other reasons. For example, a person was enticed with wealth and he left his deen. So he's not asking about that. He was a very intelligent person. He was a knowledgeable person. So he says, is there anyone leaving his religion because he's disgruntled with the religion? Because he dislikes the religion? Not because of some other reason. Anyone leaving because of this reason? He says, no. Whoever enters, no one leaves this religion because of disliking the religion. So then, Hiraqal comments, and it's a very interesting comment. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ حِينَ تُخَالِتُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. This is Iman. When the sweetness of Iman goes into the recesses of the heart, then that person will never leave Iman. Respected friends, the effort we need to make is the effort of getting the sweetness of Iman in our hearts. When that sweetness of Iman comes into our hearts, then inshallah to practice deen will become normal. It won't just become easy, it will become enjoyable. Why? Because we're enjoying the sweetness of Iman. May Allah bless all of us with the sweetness of Iman. So he says, once that sweetness of Iman enters the heart, then the person will never leave this faith because of being disgruntled and being displeased with the religion. Then he asks him that before he claimed Nubuwat, before he claimed prophethood, did you all have any doubt with regards to his integrity, with regards to his truthfulness? Did you ever suspect him of speaking lies? He says, never. We never had this doubt ever. So then, Hiraqal says, if this man was never suspected to speak a lie and attribute it to a human being, where is he going to attribute a lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is never suspected of speaking a lie regarding a fellow human being. Where is he going to speak a lie regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he says, does he ever go against his word? Does he cheat, or is he disloyal? He says, never. He is never disloyal. But then Abu Sufyan said, I found an opportunity just to put one small bit of my treachery in, or my negative comments in. I found an opportunity to put some negative comment in. So I told him that he never did it in the past. Currently we are in a peace treaty with him. We're not sure if he's going to uphold it or not. He says we don't know whether they knew he was going to uphold it, but he needed to speak something negative about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says this was the only thing I could put in, that we're not too sure whether he will keep to his word in this peace treaty. And eventually it happened that the Quraysh were the ones who broke the peace treaty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never, na'udhu billah, went against his word. Then he says to him, have you fought against him? He says, yes. What was the outcome? He says, Al-harbu baynana wa baynahu sijal. That we have equal contest. Sometimes we are winning, sometimes he is winning. So it's happening both sides. It's not that he's only winning, and it's not that we only winning. So Hiraqal commented on this. A very interesting comment again. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلْ تُبْتَلَى ثُمَّ تَكُونُ لَهُمُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. This is the case with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, that they are tested in the beginning. They go through difficulties, they go through tests. But however, at the end, the end result will be in their favor. They will be finally victorious. Whilst we see the ummah suffering in different parts of the world, and we feel, where's the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This was the case with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, that he went through these difficulties. There were times when they were losing, there were times when they were winning. And Hiraqal says that this is the condition of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Every Nabi went through this, that at times he was victorious, at times he went through the difficulty. At the end, it is Iman that will be victorious. Then he says the last question, what does he command you to do? He says that the command is, اعبد الله وحده ولا تشركوا به شيئا. Worship Allah alone. Do not ascribe any partners with Allah. وَاتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ. Leave all these wrong beliefs of your forefathers. And he commands us with salah, with zakat, wasidq, with truthfulness, wal-afaf, chastity, wasila, and being good to our relatives and being good to others. These are all the pure teachings of Islam. And these are all the basic values of Islam. Many a times, these basic values of Islam, unfortunately, are leaving our lives. These are basic values. When Abu Sufyan had to say what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inviting towards, he mentioned these things. Afaf, chastity, Allah forbid, the level of zina that has become common in our communities, may Allah save us. Wal afaf, chastity was an integral part of the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sidq, truth, honesty, being truthful in our speech. We spoke about it earlier. Wasila, being good to others, being good to our family members. Nevertheless, time has run out. Very quickly we will terminate. So, Hiraqal says to Abu Sufyan at that time, if what you are saying is true, if you have given me the correct answers, فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمَيَّ هَاتَيْن, then this person here will rule over the ground that is under my feet. Meaning, he gave a prophecy that the Muslims will rule over Baytul Muqaddas. And in the time of Umar radiallahu an, in the 15th or 16th year after Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the world that day when Baytul Muqaddas was conquered by Umar radiallahu an. And may Allah show us that day again, when very soon the Muslim world will be liberated, Masjid Al-Aqsa will be liberated from the control and the oppression of the Yahud. Nevertheless, the incident goes on where he expressed his desire, if only I didn't have the fear that my people will kill me, I would have gone myself to Madinah Munawwara and I would have gone and met him and I would have washed his Mubarak feet with my own hands. However, it was the fear of him losing his position. And this is a major obstacle in a person's life. The fear of losing his position that didn't allow him to bring Iman. Otherwise, he was convinced about Iman, but he didn't bring Iman because he feared I will lose my empire and I will lose my position. And this pride, many a times becomes an obstacle in a person's progress to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Respected friends, in the month of Rabiul Awwal generally, we speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let us understand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only our Nabi in Rabiul Awwal. Our allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should not only be during the month of Rabiul Awwal. Our allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be all the time. We should be wanting to study his life all the time. It has to be a daily practice in our homes, reading about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching our children about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then obviously implementing the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life. Then inshallah we can say that we are loyal followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.